Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. That's 800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen, take part, and learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now with some basic thoughts, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we talked about one of the ways that Satan tries to deceive us, and we talked specifically about the fact that he tries to keep us under the law instead of us experiencing all of the blessings and promises that we have in this new covenant. So he keeps pushing us back to the old way, to the Mosaic law, to that covenant. And we talked about yesterday what it means to be in the new covenant. Today we want to spend a few minutes before we go to our phone callers to talk about what the law is, because I think there's a confusion as to what the law is. When folks say that Jesus has set us free from the law, many times they just mean the ceremonial law, not the Ten Commandments. But is that what Scripture has to say? And so I'm going to open it up to Andrew and Richard and Bob, and let's talk about it. Andrew, what does the New Testament say about the law? What does it include?
Yeah, well, I don't think that it's going to give us the option of standing at that buffet line and picking certain elements out of it. That seems to be the popular fare for today, is to, I'll take the Ten Commandments. No, wait. The Sabbath tastes bad. I'll take the Nine Commandments and put that on my plate. And, it's like we're picking and choosing and thinking that's okay. And when you look at 2 Corinthians 3, we find that even the Ten Commandments, even the Big Ten, are called a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation. It refers to the part of the law that was etched on stone, carved out on stone tablets, and it says it was a ministry of death. Well, my friends, only the Ten Commandments were written on stone. So you apply just a bit of God's divine logic here, and what he's saying is there's no exception. It's 613 laws total that you are dead from and dead to, and that includes the Ten Commandments. So, James says you keep the whole law and you stumble in one point, then you're guilty of all of it. Galatians says you're cursed if you don't keep all of the law while under it. So it's not a pick and choose. It's an all or nothing curse. And it's time that we respect the law. I mean, people call us law bashers or disrespecters of the law. But I'll tell you, Bob, what we're really doing is respecting the law. We're saying it is awesomely perfect and awesomely impossible. And so let's call a spade here and respect the law fully and then say, thank Jesus, I'm under grace.
Absolutely. Now, Richard, in your background, you had kind of sifted through all of what the New Testament said, and you had actually come to that conclusion that Jesus freed us from the ceremonial, but we still have to keep the ten. How did that work, and what made you realize that it was all-inclusive when the New Testament writers were speaking about law?
Well, I had to come to a conclusion that I wasn't getting any better. I tried my hardest. I thanked God every day that the ceremonial law had been fulfilled in Christ and that Christ was enabling me to live the Big Ten. And I failed every day of my life. And you can't do that for very long until your brain just says, you're either going to stop or you're going to die. I can't take this anymore. And my brain was screaming at me. So I had to go back and start reading and see what the Bible actually said. And thanks to the Spirit and some good friends and people who asked interesting questions, I had to come to the conclusion that my thinking was wrong, that the law meant something other than I thought that it meant. And when I finally came to the conclusion, like Andrew just said, that it's all or nothing, it was very freeing. There is grace in that, because there's truth in that. Truth leads to freedom. A friend of mine used to say, the truth sets you free, but it'll make you miserable first. And it made me miserable first. You know, first of all, I knew I couldn't keep it because I was trying. Secondly, I found out that I wasn't supposed to be keeping it, and now I have nothing to hold on to. Jesus was standing there the whole time saying, would you let me do this? And when I finally let him do it, according to what the whole New Testament describes to us, I found peace and joy and grace, and life changed.
Absolutely. So let me throw out this question, because Jesus made some statements in the Gospels, and it says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. So isn't Jesus bringing back those Ten Commandments? Isn't that what he's saying there?
That's what I thought, and that was one of the major sources of pain for me. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. And there wasn't a thing I could do to keep any of those commandments. So the only conclusion I could come to was I must not be in his love.
Outside of it.
I must be outside of his love. And you know, then I read the Bible rather than just taking what I'd been taught, and discovered that what he was talking about was believing in him and loving others as he has loved me. It's a very different thing.
Yes, indeed. So yeah. So one of the things that we read, for example, in the book of Hebrews, Andrew, is that when the priesthood changes, the law must change. And so we know when Christ ushered in this new covenant, the priesthood changed. He has now become our high priest. So how has the law changed, and what way? What are the new covenant laws, so to speak?
Yeah, well, 1 John 3 helps us out, and so does 1 John 5. If you've been wondering what in the world John might mean by his commands, well, the best place to go is ask John. Right there in 1 John 3 and 5, he tells us that his commands are to believe in Jesus and to love others just as he loved us, you know. And so we're soaking in God's love for us, and then we're transmitting it to other people. So it takes a soaking in order for us to overflow and transmit to others. But it's really hard for us to be receivers. We want to be producers. And, well, of course, we're not designed to be producers. We're designed to be receivers. And so you say, well, what are his commands like? Well, again, 1 John tells us they are not burdensome. Well, I'm telling you that 613 fingers staring you in the face, pointing out your shortcomings, that is burdensome. Being under the law is more than burdensome. Galatians calls it a curse. You're cursed if you don't do it all. And so this new covenant is not burdensome, John writes, and it actually inspires upright living. I'm reminded of a friend of mine that just went to Canada and came back. She said, There's a sign up there out in the middle of nowhere. It says no shooting, and it's trying to eliminate the gunfire that's been taking place in that area of Canada out in the woods. It says no shooting. Well, the sign is full of bullet holes. So you can see that these laws, they actually inspire sin in us. And that's why Paul was so bold as to say, apart from law, sin is dead.
Interesting conversation. Want to invite our listeners to come in and be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, my name is Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. Come on in, and if you have something you'd like to discuss, great opportunity right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk with Tom, who's been patiently waiting. He's listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's on your mind today?
I have a question about the book of Genesis, specifically concerning, you know, the creation week. I'm an older Christian, and all my life I've taken it literally when the Lord says that he created the earth in 6 days and six nights. But recently I've been coming across people, and even in some of the literature, that's saying that these 6 days are just symbolic of six very long periods of time. And and I didn't even realize that it's actually caused a rift in some areas of God's church. What can you tell me about your view on this?
Well, it's a good question, Tom. And you know, I'm kind of old school. You read that and you see, you know, there was morning and then there was night, and you see that and you think, well, that's a 24-hour period. And certainly if God wants to do something, he can do it in an instance. And so I think a lot of times we question the power of God, the ability of God, the resources of God, all of that when we start questioning the Genesis account. But certainly science is trying to say, you know, we've been here a long time, and we don't want to disregard science, but we don't want science to kind of direct necessarily our belief system either. So I think when it says God spoke and things came into being, that's how it was. Andrew, how do you look at that?
Yeah, you know, the Hebrew word is yom, and yom can mean a day or a time period. So then you say, well, how am I going to define yom? Well, I think Bob already hit it. You know, he says the evening and the morning were the first yom. The evening and the morning were the second yom. So you get yom. Well, it's defined various times there. Now, I mean, a person could come back and say, well, you know, I mean, there was just, he had just finished creating the stars and the sun and the whole idea of our time was being created in that very time period. So, you know, I don't argue and bicker with people about this, but I think number one, it's very important to say we're not an accident. We didn't come from apes accidentally in some sort of godless way. And God created the world. He created everything. I personally believe that it was in 6 days. But if someone's going to say, well, I think it was in six yom, I'm not going to pick a fight with them. But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot that we are surprised by when we hit heaven. And, you know, you just can't put your trust in human understanding, no matter who they are.
Yeah, I'm very concerned, too, because I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I've been reading literature and statistics on the fact that as kids get into senior high school and into their early years of college, you know, they're leaving the church. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because they can't defend their faith. And when teachings come like this into the church and kids start questioning, well, you know, the Bible says this, but this really isn't true because I'm learning this outside in school. And then they start questioning, well, maybe this isn't true. Maybe it's metaphorical. The resurrection is metaphorical, or the virgin birth is metaphorical. It opens, it opens the door for the adversary to really, really hurt his God's people. And I believe the only way to interpret it is 6 days and six nights. I mean, even heard with Yom, that when it's preceded by a number, it always means a literal 24-hour period. So I just don't want to open that door for compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And are you familiar with any of the writings or the work of Ken Ham?
Yes.
How do you feel about his approach to this particular area of Genesis?
Well, you know, I think he has a lot to offer. Again, I think you come back to, are we going to divide? I agree with you that, you know what, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not up for grabs. You know, the Old Testament being allegorical is not up for grabs. But, you know, are we going to put a rift in the church among all our Christian friends over a word, yom, and how long that period is? Well, coincidentally, you know, a lot of scientists agree that the order of creation is similar, if not exactly the same, as the order of creation in Genesis 1. So how long it took is what they might dispute, but not the order of it. So I find that interesting. And then I also find interesting, I mean, my wife and I, speaking of allegory, we were talking last night about how recently a Babylonian tablet, one among many, have been discovered. And on it, it describes the ark, and I believe actually gives some dimensions of the ark on this Babylonian tablet. So you begin to see that, whoa, there's even sources outside of our scriptures that have spoken of Jesus, spoken of Noah, spoken of events. You know, you look at the Exodus, you know, it is just over and over. It's compelling. And so I think people are up a creek without a paddle when they begin to talk about it all being allegory.
Would you say that Exodus 20 clears it up too? And I mean, when he's talking about the Sabbath, and Exodus 20 says God created everything in 6 days and six nights and rested the seventh day. Wasn't that the whole design, the whole purpose of our work week? Didn't we get it from there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for your call, brother.
Is it possible to ask you one more thing?
Well, quickly, we have several other callers on the line. So,
okay, is Malachi 3:10 and Deuteronomy 6:16? I know it can't be a contradiction, but you know, when God says, "Test me," in Malachi, and Deuteronomy 6:16 and Matthew 4:10, the Lord is saying, "Don't test the Lord your God."
Yeah, I mean, my take on that is that, you know, really there's a threat in Malachi 3. Under the law, there you're blessed if you tithe and you're cursed if you don't tithe. And so he's talking about bringing grain into the storehouse, and he's saying,
right,
you know, test me. So I don't think he really means, hey, you want to test me. I think it's just a figure of speech to say, hey, I'm being serious here, and there's a curse under the law. Now, our takeaway is, thank God I'm freed from that curse.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, fellas.
You're welcome,
God bless
Tom.
You.
Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Let's go to Melvin in San Francisco. Hi, Melvin.
Hello, guys. God bless you. I just want to let you know that I really, really love your teaching, and it's been tremendous help to me, you know, especially when I fail and I start feeling guilty. I just go back to what you guys preach, and I start feeling better, and then I thank God for what he did, you know, through Christ. Because now I know that it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how hard I try to be a good person, a better person. It doesn't work. I mean, it will never happen. Eventually, I will fail again. But through Christ, if I believe and I stay, you know.
Yeah, Melvin, Christianity for so many of us is nothing more than a self-improvement program. We try to incorporate the principles, the rules, and regulations, and we hope to get better, to become better people. And when we go down that pathway, we find out we can't do any of it. We're just nothing but big, huge failures. And that's where Jesus comes into the mix. And that's why this passage in Romans 8, to me, is so powerful, starting in verse 1. Romans 8, starting in verse 1, where the writer says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Melvin, you've been made new in Christ. Christ has come to live inside of you, and you can trust him to live his life through you. And sometimes when you try to do it on your own, you find out you can't. And that's where this verse is so powerful and so wonderful. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's great news to build a life upon, Melvin.
And just one more thing, you know, many times when I feel like the struggle, you know, many times I just play I go online and play you guys all night. I sleep listening to you guys.
Well,
honor
Melvin,
to God, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
You. So we put you to sleep, huh?
That's yeah, peacefully, yeah.
Oh, Melvin.
All right,
well,
thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your call. You hold on just for a second, okay?
And be sure to give our operator email address, because we have something we'd like to send you.
Let's go to Santa Rosa, California, and talk with April, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, April.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, we're here, April. How can we help you today?
I just want to say thank you. I really enjoy your program. About a year and a half ago, my FM went out mysteriously in my car, so I had to tune into AM stations. And so I dialed in KDIA, and I listen, you know, I drive around a lot for my job. So I listen to various programs, and I love the intent of yours. It's like all of the programs are to get the message out. But a person listening can really feel the intent behind it. And the fact that you brought up that Christ said, you know, the new command I give you, talking to his apostles, was that you love one another. You know, that's a simple
and also difficult directive that all of us know, but it is his new command.
Yes,
and
indeed.
And with that, that's how I live my day. What can I do for somebody, you know?
Well, April, as you trust the Lord and you allow God's Spirit to move in your thinking and in your understanding and to open your eyes to the great needs that are around you, you see all kinds of things that you can do.
Yeah.
And how you can be an expression of God's love in this world of darkness. And that's what God has called us to.
Right. And I've gone through some very, very difficult, depressed times. And I, you know, as anybody who's been depressed knows, that is when the spiritual warfare is really at its peak. And in those moments, you know, what else can you do? It's like Peter said, where else am I to go, Lord?
Yes.
Get down on your knees, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's a beautiful thing, because when you come out of it, you realize that that is what got you through it. And it's also very humbling when you remember that as you're out in the world. I wasn't raised a Christian, so that wasn't a part of my worldview.
Yeah, at the end of the day, April, I think you raise a good point. At the end of the day, God doesn't look at you and say, how did you do keeping my commandments? He looks at you and says, April, I want you to know I love you. Period.
Exactly.
End of story. And I just want you to soak that in, and I want you to let that love become so much a part of you that it just flows out in your everyday life. So that's what God says to us. He loves us, and he's demonstrated that to us in Jesus Christ. But well, April, thanks for jumping on with us today. We sure appreciate your kind comments.
I appreciate you guys, really.
Yeah. Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape. You hold on, okay?
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You hold the line. Well, let's quickly go to Warwick, Rhode Island, and talk with Cliff. Hi, Cliff.
How you doing? I'm actually a little bit on the other side. I believe that it wasn't 7 days, but seven estrus, which meant an undetermined length of time. So that, not only that, but the Asiatic race has been here for over 2 million years. They've already confirmed that. The Adamic race can only be traced back 7,500 years. And the black race can be traced back over 40,000 years. So how can it be that Adam and Eve were the mother of all? I don't believe they were. I believe that Adam, his name, means to show blood in the face, rosy red. Eva.
Well, Cliff, we're out of time on today's broadcast, but we appreciate you calling in and expressing your thoughts. Andrew, any last words on the topic today?
Well, I think you can look at Adam and Eve as two individuals that started it all, and then you can go on to argue about a word here or there. But ultimately, we're celebrating our Creator, that we aren't here by accident, that we have an origin, that you don't get something from nothing. There's a master artist out there named God Himself, and He started it all.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Every weekday we are here on the air showing how the Basic Gospel constantly intersects with your life. It truly does. But it's you, of course, who make it possible for us to be on your station every day and by your prayers and your financial support, of course. To show our appreciation to you for standing with us with a gift of any amount, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. We're in the last 3 days, including today, of this particular offer, so make the call or go online as soon as you can and make your gift and request your copy. The number is 800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time today. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Operation Screwtape is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To review each day's broadcast, be sure to get on the email list. Click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net, and you'll receive an email each day with the link to the most recent broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you feel this broadcast is beneficial to you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.